This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Mothering. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. America does not have enough obstetricians and gynecologists, and that problem is only expected to get worse. Experts predict that by the year 2020, we'll have a shortage of 8,000 OBGYNs nationwide. Here now to talk more about how all of that is affecting women and access to care is reporter Elizabeth Fiedler. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Maiken.
And I might as well put this out there. You are pregnant yourself.
I am very pregnant. Yes, about 8 months.
8 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've been going to a lot of appointments to make sure everything is okay, right?
I have been. I'm fortunate in that everything is okay, but there are still a lot of doctor's appointments that pregnant women are expected to go to. And as you get closer and closer to your due date, the appointments get more and more frequent. So it really feels like I'm going every couple of days just to have my vitals checked, talk to the doctor, chat about any problems or questions that I have.
And how much time does that take out of your day?
I'm very fortunate being here in a city that has a lot of options for OB care. I only have to walk about 10 minutes to get to my doctor, and I can usually squeeze that in on my lunch break.
And to report on this shortage of OBGYN care, you traveled to the country. You traveled to rural Pennsylvania. And what did you find there?
Yeah, so I drove far north, just about as far north as you can go in Pennsylvania before crossing the New York border. And I went to a tiny town where I had heard that there was a real OBGYN shortage. It's called Susquehanna. And I met a woman there named Shawnee Baker. And she is 27. And she was telling me her story about her pregnancy and her experience accessing care. And I have to tell you, Mike, it is so different from my 10-minute walk to my doctor that I couldn't believe it. Here she is talking about right before she gave birth and the 1-hour car trip it took for her and her husband just to get to the hospital.
I was scared, like, are we going to get there in time? Like, especially for my first one, because you don't know what to expect. And if not, what happens then?
She laughs now at that memory, but she says back when she was pregnant, she imagined this really frightening scenario, giving birth to her daughter along the side of the road. She says it's hard for a lot of women out here.
Transportation is an issue. A lot of people don't have vehicles or gas money.
She sums up the situation in 4 words.
This is not okay.
Out here in rural Susquehanna, Pennsylvania, which has a population of just 1,500 people, you need a car to get just about everywhere. And if you're a pregnant woman seeking OBGYN care, there's one option, and he only comes to town 3 times a month.
My name is Zimmerly, Zimmerly, John, and my title, jack of all trades, MD, laborist, private practitioner, rural practitioner, a little bit of everything.
John Zimmerly provides prenatal care at a local health clinic out here, in the shadow of a rusty old water tower along an old railroad line. Zimmerly just arrived at the clinic, and he's already tired. He made the 2-hour trip here from his job at a hospital in upstate New York, delivering babies.
One at 3:45 in the morning and one at 6:30 this morning. So very little sleep last night. So therefore, I look tired.
Zimmerly's in his 60s, he's bald, and he wears a diamond stud earring. Instead of winding down toward retirement, he insists that this rigorous workload is necessary. To give birth, women out here have to drive 40 minutes to an hour to a hospital that delivers babies. But for all those prenatal visits to check the mom's vital signs, her weight gain, a lot of women out here can't or won't make those trips so frequently. So Zimmerly comes here to make it easier for them. Right now, he's with one of his patients.
It's first of all, number of meals. It's better to have, 5 or 6 small meals throughout the day.
He's talking to Kim. She's 32 years old, and she's here with her boyfriend.
There's a tendency towards a fasting hypoglycemia, which means when you're not eating.
Kim's 14 weeks pregnant, wearing a zip-up sweatshirt and jeans, and she looks really scared.
Were you nervous coming in?
Very nervous.
Why?
Because this is my first child. Like, I don't know what to expect.
Kim honestly looks sort of terrified. And she tells Zimmerli that the baby's not moving, and she's been really worried that something's wrong. So he explains to her that it's actually too early to feel baby movements.
So don't worry. But, you know, this still moves me. You could easily take things for granted. The whole process fascinates me, that you can take two cells that you can't even see, put them together, and form a person that can hear and smell and think and, you know, etc. It's amazing to me, more and more so.
It's amazing to Kim's boyfriend, Dominic, too. He's sitting in the corner, keeping pretty quiet, but he has a smile on his face. And he says he cried just a few minutes ago when he heard the baby's heartbeat for the first time.
It was actually amazing to hear a little heartbeat. I thought something was wrong for the past couple weeks.
Kim and her boyfriend drove just about 20 minutes to get here, and Zimmerli assures them that the exam went well.
I think you're doing good, and look forward to taking care of you.
Zimmerli used to make weekend trips here to rural Pennsylvania to deliver babies at a hospital that's just up the road. He'd have patients induced on Friday, so he'd be by their side when they delivered during the weekend. But that's not an option anymore. Like hospitals across the country, the one up the road no longer delivers babies. Some blame it on the high cost of malpractice insurance. Other hospitals simply didn't want to deal with the worst-case scenarios, like maternal hemorrhaging. In other parts of rural America, the OBGYN shortage is even worse. To ease the crisis, states across the country are considering a variety of solutions. One of the newest is at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. It's the nation's first rural residency OBGYN program, and the first resident starts this summer. Here's Director Ellen Hartenbach.
I think of it as a best of both worlds. They're going to get all the clinical skills they need, but they're also going to get training in a smaller community hospital so that they can understand what that's like to practice there.
She says doctors who get trained out in the country just might fall in love and decide to stay.
People tend to practice relatively close to where they did their training. There's a certain amount of familiarity.
Hartenbach says this is an important mission because in pregnancy, things can quickly go from okay to terrible.
We do know that women in rural areas get prenatal care less often, and that can lead to problems. We also know that there are some national data that the infant mortality rate and the maternal mortality rate are higher in rural areas.
She says it's not totally clear whether that's due to poverty or whether it's access to care. In Lock Haven, right in the middle of Pennsylvania, surrounded by state forest, another doctor is trying his best to help.
Thane Turner, I'm a family physician.
Turner provides cradle-to-grave care, from newborns to geriatrics.
Sick visits and sutures and broken bones and simple things like that. So yeah, primary care in rural America kind of sees a wide range of things.
Turner grew up here, and after his medical training, he came home. He's been back as a doctor for 20 years, and for the first decade, he delivered babies on top of his regular practice. But he stopped. He was tired of missing his kids' baseball games and church activities when the call came for a delivery.
The difficulty was that, labors can be long and involved, and it was hard because there'd be days where something would happen in the middle of your day and you'd have to run out of the office, and that was, 8 to 10 patients that had to be inconvenienced with you leaving, so you did have to find a balance.
A lot of other family physicians are doing the same thing, not delivering babies. Some experts say midwives could be part of the solution.
In most industrialized countries around the world, midwives attend a substantial majority of the births and virtually all of the lower risk births.
Eugene DeClercq is a professor at the Boston University School of Public Health. He says right now most babies are delivered by physician specialists with an advanced degree, when maybe they don't need to be.
The difficulty in the United States is that midwives in the United States attend less than 10% of all births.
But even midwives, like obstetricians, tend to live along the coasts. That leaves huge swaths of underserved families. DeClercq says training more midwives to work in those rural areas would help. In the meantime, pregnant women in rural America continue to make long treks to get care. And pregnant women in Susquehanna are hoping their one doctor, John Zimmerli, doesn't retire anytime soon.
If you have any problems, you can call here. And they know how to reach me, and they'll get in touch with me, and I'll get back to you. Okay.
For The Pulse, I'm Elizabeth Fiedler.
No, I do have one question. Is there, like, a special diet she's supposed to be on, or anything like that? Or?
Well, it's first of all.